Following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talks of the Shabbos Parshas Va'era, Chaf Ches Tevis, Varchem Achei de Shvat, Heitav Shinun Beis, corresponding to the year 1992. The Rebbe begins by describing the beginning of this Parsha Va'era. It begins with God's response to Moshe, response to his complaint. Lom Harieisa Lom Hazeh, why did you cause harm to this nation? And God's response was, Va'era el Avram, el Yitzchak, el Yankov, Mikhail Shindal Yud, Ushmi Avail, and Nidai Telehem. I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with the name, and the name is Kael, and Shindal Yud, Almighty, but my name, Havaya, I did not let known to them. And then God continues, Lachin Emer, Levnei Yisrael, Ani Havaya. Therefore, tell the children of Israel, I am Havaya. So, the Rebbe explains that this means that God is saying to Moshe, yes, it's true. I did reveal myself to the patriarchs with the name Shindalad Yud, Almighty, which represents God's revelation within the parameters and the finite, limited parameters of the world and the nature of the world. However, he says, L'bnei Yisrael, to the children of Israel, I will be revealed with a much higher level of divinity. The name Havaya refers to God's revealing his infinite, unlimited light that transcends the limitations of the world. And that is the power with which I will take them out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. So we have to understand. The Rebbe asks two questions. Number one, why does it say, therefore tell them? In other words, because I did not reveal myself to the patriarchs with the name Havaya, therefore tell the children that he will be revealed. What's the connection? Number two, why is the name of the parsha Va'era, and I appeared, which refers to how God appeared to the patriarchs in the past, which is different from the way he's going to be revealed to the Jewish people in the present? So why would it be called Va'era when the parsha is about the opposite of what happened in the past? So the Rebbe's answer is that we're talking about the Avos, the patriarchs, a father. What is a father? Father is the source and root of all the children. So the Avos are the source and root of all Jewish souls. And the preeminent level, the lofty level of the patriarchs is the cause, is the reason that the Jewish people were subsequently enabled to experience the higher name of Havaya. That's why the Torah says, Lachain, I appear to the Aves, to the patriarchs, therefore the Jewish people will have the power to access this higher name. When did this revelation of God's name Havaya take place? We're talking about a level that is higher and above the parameters of the world. This took place actually much later, at the time of Matan Torah, when the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. And that's why only the Jewish people merited this revelation. The patriarchs who lived before Sinai did not merit that. But, notwithstanding the fact that the Avos lived before Matan Torah, Avram was the one who started, who initiated the process of Matan Torah. Because what is the effect of Matan Torah? Whenever we do a mitzvah today, after the Torah was given at Sinai, we can take the physical objects of this world with which we do a mitzvah and bring them into the realm of holiness. We could sanctify them. Now, the patriarchs, in addition to the fact that they kept the whole Torah even before it was given, they had the mitzvah of circumcision. Avram was given that mitzvah, which was the first mitzvah that was able to bring holiness into a physical object with which the mitzvah is done. Therefore, the revelation to Avram at his bris contained within it the revelation, the unique revelation of the name Havaya that would come only later at the time of Matan Torah. But despite all this, the Torah says, the name Havaya I did not let known to them. I did not reveal it to them. What does that mean? The Hebrew word Nedaiti, which means knowledge, the root of it is knowledge, also means connected. I didn't connect this name to them. When did I start this connection? The connection of the Elyonim, the upper godly spheres, with the Tachtonim, the lower physical world. That unification was only made possible through the name of Havaya that was revealed, the infinite name of God, who has the power to unify upper and the lower. Therefore, as long as the revelation of godliness was only able to permeate Avram's body through his circumcision, but it didn't affect the whole world, so therefore this absolute unification of upper and lower could not take place. It can only take place in a very limited way, in an imperfect way, but the complete revelation of Havaya, which means the complete unification of the upper and the lower, the godly and the mundane, can only happen after Matan Torah. That's why Rashi, on the words, "My name Havaya, I did not let known to them," uses the expression "le nikarti," that I did not allow them to recognize it was a revelation in a very limited way. They didn't have a full revelation. God did not let it become something that was recognized by them. It only had a peripheral effect. Now, in addition to the fact that the Aves did begin the process of bringing Elyonim, the upper sphere, down to the lower world, as we said before, but they also had a phenomenally higher quality. Because the whole concept of bringing Elyonim, the upper and the lower, together, that's only possible when you have a world in which there's upper and there's lower. But God himself doesn't have the whole division of upper and lower, because he's there in the upper and the lower equally. So therefore, the unification that happened in Matan Torah takes place by the Jewish people who are within the world, who are part of the world. But the Jewish people existed even before they came into this world, even before we start working and doing our efforts through the teachings of the Torah. It's something that we inherited from our fathers, beginning with Avraham Avinu, who revealed the power of faith, of emunah, and mesiras nefesh, and self-sacrifice, that come from the essence of the soul. On this level of the soul, this lofty level of the soul, then there's no such thing as upper and lower. Everything is godliness, the way it is by God himself. So what did Matan Torah accomplish? What was the innovation of Matan Torah? That this godly energy was able to be brought down in this world and revealing this essence, God's essence himself. The Aves, the patriarchs, through their efforts, began bringing the Etzem, the essence, into this world through the mitzvah of circumcision. The children, namely the Jewish people, completed this process of bringing godliness into the world, and they allowed the essence to be revealed. So what the patriarchs did was a prerequisite, a preparation, a prelude to the effects, the actions and the effects of the children to bring godliness, not just the way it is in its source, but down here in this physical world through Matan Torah. That's why it says in the holy books that the patriarchs were also present at Matan Torah. The reason they point this out is to underscore the fact that Matan Torah was made happen through their merit, and Matan Torah completed the process that started with the patriarchs. Now, when God spoke to Moshe about the patriarchs, he says to Moshe, "Shmi Havaya, my name Havaya, lo nedaiti lahem, I did not make it known to them." Now, that's connected to us after Matan Torah, because Torah is eternal. So if we're reading about what happened even before Matan Torah, but because we're reading it in the Torah, it means it's relevant to us. How could that be? If we're already after Matan Torah. So the Rebbe explains that, notwithstanding the fact that Matan Torah is the unification of the upper and the lower, and bringing the name Havaya in the whole world, but this revelation is still lacking. Yes, we could discern the fact that mitzvahs bring the name Havaya throughout the whole world, but when will we see the full revelation of the name Havaya? That will only happen in the future redemption. Then we'll be able to see God's glory with our physical eyes. That's why, as long as we are before the redemption, we could still say the words, "Shmi Havaya Leina Daiti," my name Havaya was not made known to them. And we're still in need of the revelation of the name Havaya. That's why it says that when the times of the redemption, the name Havaya today will only be considered as if it was the name Elohim. Because relative to the new revelation of the name Havaya that will be present then, the name Havaya today is merely a glimmer and will pale in comparison. On the other hand, the Rebbe says, just like the godly revelation about the Torah, how did we get it? What gave us the privilege to have that revelation? It came through the Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice of the Aves, of the patriarchs. Correspondingly, the revelation of God's essence in the future happens through our efforts today, through our Mesiras Nefesh, our self-sacrifice and dedication in exile, which comes with the fact that our soul's essence motivates us to do that. So that will bring the revelation in the future. Now, the revelation that will be in the time of redemption is hinted in this weekly parsha, and it's hinted again in the forthcoming parsha, Parshas Bay, which we read every Shabbos to Mincha. We always read next week's parsha on Mincha. So the Rebbe explains that Parai, which is the beginning of Parshas Bay, God says to Moshe, Bo El Parai, come to Pharaoh. What does Parai represent? In the realm of holiness, Para represents the levels of godliness, the phenomenal, wondrous levels of godliness that are beyond the name Havaya today. That's why Parsha Shmais, which is the preparation for Matan Torah, talks about the Aves, the patriarchs, the way they served God before Matan Torah. Va'era, I appeared. And tell the children of Israel, Ani Havaya represents the revelation of Matan Torah. That's Va'era. So Shmais is the Aves. Va'era is Matan Torah. But Bay, where we reach the level of Parai in the realm of holiness, that's the revelation that will be in the future in the time of redemption. And the Rebbe says it's interesting that Parshas Va'era concludes the month of Tevis, which is the 10th month. 10 is a number that represents the perfection of our efforts in the time of Golos. The month of Shvat, in which we read Parshas Bay, symbolizes the future redemption in the fact that it's the 11th month, and the 11th month is related to the idea of the 11 that transcends the 10. It transcends the 10 attributes. Also, the name Shvat is connected to Mashiach because it says concerning Mashiach, Le'yosa Shevet Me'Yehuda, a scepter, a leader will not depart from Yehuda. So the word Shvat is related to the word leader, referring to the leadership of Mashiach. And the Rebbe then says this is all connected to the life of the previous Rebbe, who the Rebbe, of course, refers to as the Rebbe, the Shver, the Rebbe, his father-in-law, the leader of our generation, whose histalkus, his date of histalkus, of passing, is the 10th of Shvat. And the Rebbe spoke about the three periods of the previous Rebbe. And that includes the period after his histalkus. And these three periods, the Rebbe says, parallel the three periods that we just spoke about before. The period before Matan Torah, Matan Torah, and the days of Mashiach. And the Rebbe divides the previous Rebbe's life into these three different periods. The first 40 years of his life, from the year Tafresh Mem to Tafresh Pei, that's 1880 to 1920, that's when he started his efforts in disseminating the fountains under the leadership of his father. That's similar to the period of our fathers that preceded Matan Torah. Then there's the next 30 years, the last years of his life, from Tafresh Pei to Tafshin Yud, that's 1920 to 1950, in which he disseminated Chassidus even in America as the leader of Chabad. That's like the innovation of Matan Torah, which is an innovation of bringing Torah down to this world. And in those 30 years itself, the Rebbe says, the first 10 years he was under the communist rule in Russia. They are similar to the way we were in Egypt. The second 10 years were in Poland. That corresponds to the Matan Torah bringing Chassidus Chabad even in Poland. And the last decade of his life was in America. Then he publicized, especially about the coming of Mashiach, things that are connected to the days of Mashiach. So that corresponds to the third period. Now, the third period, that's three periods within the 30 years. Now, the Rebbe says the third period of the previous Rebbe's life occurs after his passing, after his histalkus. That's the leadership of, obviously, of the Rebbe. The Rebbe alluded to the fact that this period is a continuation of the previous Rebbe's life, in which the teachings of Chassidus have been disseminated throughout the entire world, beginning with the 11th of Shvat, the year Tavshin Yud Aleph, which is, of course, the year that the Rebbe accepted leadership. These are the days of Mashiach. Practically speaking, the Rebbe says, there should be an inspiration to make for Brengen's gatherings in every place, beginning with Shabbos Mevarchim, the month of Shvat. On Rosh Chodesh Shvat, there should be for Brengen's, and especially, of course, on Yud Shvat, and to arouse people about the importance of being connected, being Mekusher to the leader of the generation and to his primary function, which is to bring to the days of Mashiach and to hasten the redemption. It should be immediately, imminently. And the Ha'ikar, the essential thing is that we will all come to the true and complete redemption, take it from Yad Mamish. Now, a summary of the synopsis, notwithstanding the fact that the main innovation of the Parsha of Va'era is that God is revealing the name Havaya to the children, to the Jewish children, which facilitates the unification of godliness in this world. Nevertheless, the name of the Parsha is about the past. Va'era, and I appeared to the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Rebbe explains, because the power to reveal the name Havaya to us, to the children, that happened at Matan Torah, and to unify the upper and the lower spheres, we got that from the Aves, from the fathers. They were the first people to bring godliness into the physical world through the mitzvah of circumcision, and they are the ones, through their Mesiras Nefesh and their faith, that reveal the essence of the Neshama that is above Torah. And that is the power that we have to bring the essence, God Himself, down here in this world. Also today, even after Matan Torah, we still have to relate to the lesson of what happened before Matan Torah, because we are still in the generation which applies to the patriarchs, in which the name Havaya is not fully revealed. Because relative to the revelation of godliness that will be in the future, the name Havaya today we have is really only like the name Elohim. So we don't really have the full force of the name Havaya that will be revealed in the future. That's why all the godliness that we have is not fully revealed in this world. We can't see godliness, even though we put the efforts of Mesiras Nefesh, but these efforts will bring about the complete redemption that we don't see right now. These three stages, the stage before Matan Torah, and the future, the Messianic Age, are hinted in the first three parshas of this book of the Sefer Shemais of Exodus. Shemais refers to how the Jews lived in Egypt and they worked. They were slaves in Egypt. That's the period that corresponds to the before the giving of the Torah. Va'era, the second parsha, which talks about Nihavaya, which is parallels the giving of the Torah. The third parsha in the book of Shemos, Bo, which is connected to Paro, or the spiritual dimension of Paro, that's the highest level of godliness where the essence of God is revealed. That corresponds to the future, the days of Mashiach. These three periods, the Rebbe says, are connected to the three periods of the Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, the 41st years of his life, where he worked under the guidance and leadership of his father, represent the efforts of the patriarchs that existed before Matan Torah, the next 30 years of his leadership in which he disseminated Chassidus as the leader of Chabad, corresponds to the period of Matan Torah, but the period that followed his Histalkos, beginning with Yud Aleph Shvat of the year Tavshin Yud Aleph, that's when the teaching of Chassidus were actually disseminated throughout the entire world. This corresponds to Yemais HaMashiach. The Rebbe concludes, HaMaisahu HaIkar, the deed is the essential thing. And the Rebbe gives four instructions. Number one, to increase with greater strength in the activities, the teachings of Torah of the Baal HaHilulah of Yud Shvat. Number two, to increase, especially in the area of Hiskashrus, of attaching ourselves in bitul nullification to the leader of the generation, whose primary function is to bring to the days of Mashiach in actuality. Number three, to have Fabrengens, special Fabrengens, beginning with Shabbos Mevarchim of Shvat, continuing on Rish Chodesh and Yud Shvat. And number four, to arouse and inspire each one of us, ourselves and others, with these Fabrengens and all these matters that are connected to the Rebbe, especially in hastening the redemption. It should be immediately, imminently. The highlights of this Sicha, every Jew, what is his whole being, is that he's connected to the leader of the generation, and through that, he can fulfill the Shlichus. The leader of the generation can fulfill his Shlichus, his mission. The Moshe Rabbeinu of the generation, who is the first Redeemer, Moshe Rabbeinu, but he's also the last Redeemer. What is his main function to bring to the days of Mashiach in actuality? And the Rebbe adds that the knowledge that imminently previous Rebbe, where the Rebbe refers to as my father-in-law, the leader of the generation, since the dwellers in the earth will awaken and they will sing, will look at each and every one of his chassidim and those who are attached to him to test to see where they're standing. When you realize that, when you visualize that, that inspires you to complete and to make whole every effort and all of that which we are doing to bring the redemption. And the Rebbe says this will lead us to the true and complete redemption through our righteous Mashiach in this generation, which is the last generation of Golos and the first generation of redemption, as the leader of our generation testified that all the deadlines have passed and everything is prepared for the feast of the future, a set table with the feast of the Leviathan, the Shor HaBar, and the Yayin HaMeshumar. In the book Surah HaGeula, excerpted are the statements the Rebbe made about the notification that we are living in the period connected to the Geula. So the Rebbe says like this, in times like these, when the nations are in conflict with one another, the Jewish people have the special assurance from the Almighty that my children have no fear. All that I've done solely for your sake. In addition to the multitude of promises mentioned in the Torah to the effect that, behold, he does not sleep nor slumber, the guardian of Israel, and that I am with him in distress, God says, and God will redeem Israel from all of its distress. And only after that does it say he will redeem Israel from all their sins, etc., etc. So therefore it is a certainty that he will not sleep nor slumber, the guardian of Israel, wherever Jews may be situated, even in the diaspora, and all the more so in the Holy Land, characterized by our Holy Torah and our true Torah as a land which God, our God, supervises. His eyes watch over from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And as was stated, the Rebbe concludes, the Almighty notifies and proclaims to Jews wherever they are situated, particularly in the Holy Land, my children have no fear.